Man. Okay, the pastor, thank you very much for the opportunity to share the word with the congregation today. I'm grateful. All right, so today we will be, few months ago, like some of you know, I used to work in Reading. And after work on a particular day, I was going to the car park, and my car park is far away from where the office was. And as I got to a set of traffic lights, you know, the pedestrian crossing light, and I stood there, and the Holy Spirit was revealing some things to me. And I stood there for some minutes. I was just getting it, and it was amazing. And I believe God wants me to share it with the church today. So it's a parable. I call it the parable of the light. So I've got a few slides that will go through, After that, I would continue with the notes I've taken down. So it's the parable of the light, a pedestrian's journey. Now, we all know what a traffic light is, you know, the three, red, amber, and green. And we've got a pedestrian sign just by the side. So as I stood there, or if you stand in front of by the traffic light, you will see the one you have to press as a pedestrian that you want to go across. And whatever you press, after a while, it will trigger the one controlling the cars, then it will tell you to go and things like that. Now, the Holy Spirit told me there were six categories of people that came to the light that day. The first one is who I refer to as the independent. The independent, that's the first type of person that comes. Now, that person, now many of us might see ourselves as part of this group. So the independent person, when he gets to cross the light, he doesn't press the button. I know a lot of us might be guilty. You know, you get there, you know you're supposed to press the button to cross, but he's not interested in pressing the button, but wants to go across. So he's going to ignore that button, but continues to look for the perfect opportunity to cross. They just wonder, is there any car coming? I'm going to jump. When it could be as simple as pressing the light. But what they will focus on is the road. When is the road free for me to be able to go across? That's the first category of person. The second category is the impatient. Now, what do these people do? They actually get there. They press the light. But guess what? They are not waiting for the light to tell them to go. So what do? They're still looking at the road, looking for the quick opportunity, you know. But the funny thing about, at least they went a step further than the independent person. You know, they look at the cars, are the cars slowing down? Can I just quickly run across? So regardless of the timing, they will still want to go. They cross the road before the light tells them, turns green, and they focus on the road. Now, the third category of people that got there are people that I refer to as the distracted. Now, they get there, they press the light, that's the pedestrian light, but they then forget themselves. They are distracted by things happening around them, their phones, you know, the passengers admiring the beauty of the cars, or even the people standing by their side. They just get distracted. Even when the light turns green, they don't realize quickly because their mind is somewhere else. They could be thinking, they could be analyzing or thinking about the weather, how wonderful the weather is, you know. And because of their distraction, they might miss their timing or opportunity to cross, or they might cross late. The fourth category are the scared ones. Now, these people, they get there, they press the light, and they press the button. The light turns green, but they refuse to go. Because I don't know about you, that sometimes you get to them light, it tells you it's pedestrian. But you see this bike speeding, coming, and you're like, you know what, I'm not going to take any risk. I'm just going to stand here till that guy realizes. You know, so these people, even though the light has told them it's time for you to go across, they stand there because they are scared of that car. What if that guy doesn't stop? Or what if that car brakes fails? So because of these people, they end up not even going, or they might go late. The fifth category are the people I call the sluggish ones. So these ones, they press the light, it turns green, but then they catwalk across the road. They take their time and drag their feet and just go. They will eventually get there. But guess what happens to these people? Sometimes the light turns amber before they get to the other side. And the drivers of the cars are already revving and will make them. What then happens to the sluggish one is they then have to increase their speed, because if you have an impatient driver or a car, it's going to probably go as soon as the light turns amber. So the sluggish one will be sluggish and take their time, but they've opened themselves to pressure and potential danger. And the last set of people are the obedient ones. Now, these ones, they press the button, then they wait for the light to turn green. Regardless of what's happening around them, they are focused on, I'm going to the other side, and I'm going to keep going towards that place. You know, regardless of if the light seems to be taking a long time, because there are sometimes you press those pedestrian lights, and it seems to, like, take ages. Then you look at it again and like, is it broken? Or sometimes you even press it again and like, how come you've not turned? But these guys, regardless, they're just going to wait. And as soon as it turns green, boldly, if there is a car coming, they don't care. They'll just step in and they'll just walk across. And they walk very smart and things like that. I remember when I first came to the UK, and I was in the city of Birmingham, right? I was with a friend. And he told me about the zebra crossings. And he said, you know what, this country is very good. As soon as you step on that zebra crossing, no matter the car that coming, they will stop. So, you know, when I think back now, I'm like, God, thank you, Jesus. Because, so that in the evening, we went to the store and we saw the zebra. So rather than even going, we wait for when the car is coming and we just then step on it. And, you know, and we'll be, and the cars, obviously, they have to stop. But when I think back now, and I hear stories of people that were even on the zebra crossing halfway, not that they're about starting, and cars and there have been accidents, and people, I've even seen videos. I'm like, God, I don't think I should take those kind of things for granted. But that is the confidence of him believing that, you know what, there is a law that backs the zebra crossing. So I'm going to step there, and that car has to wait. But those were the six categories of people that the Holy Spirit showed me that they are stood by the light. Now, the reason why I called it the parable, or I said parable of light, is then I asked the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? And my understanding is, you know, the road is the economy, is the environment, things around us. The light, the traffic lights we are pressing is God's word, because the light is the one that is instructing us when to stay or when to go. And what about when the light says go? What gives you the confidence that when you step onto the road, you are in your right? That is the power of God. That's God's authority that backs that light. You know, in the UK, if you step on the road when it says it's pedestrian crossing, and anyone crosses or causes an accident, the law will definitely back the pedestrian. Because there's a law that backs that instruction to cross the road. Whereas if a pedestrian just crossed the road when it's red, the driver can even sue you because you are the ones that have gone against the law. So the authority that backs the light to tell you when to go, it's God's power and authority. What about the cars and the bikes and all those people coming? They could be the enemy. They could be the devil. They could be anything to want to bring us down. Then I went back. I'm like, okay. Thank you, God, for these six categories of people. What does that mean? You know, or are there people in the Bible that played their lives just like this? You know, and I start with the independent person. Who is that person in the Bible that tried to act as the independent person? Can we open our Bible to the book of Luke 12 from verse 16? Luke 12 from verse 16. It's a very popular story. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he talked within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And then I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goats laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is a classic example of an independent person, whereby when you all you are thinking about, or what the person is thinking about, is what they're going to do without involving God. You know, they want to, you know what, I want to go into a business investment. God, is this the right? The person is not interested. It's all about them. I feel like doing it. You know what? Everyone is doing it. I think I can do it. Like, it doesn't care to find out if that's God's will or God's plan for him. What about the impatient person? Are there examples of people in the Bible that God actually has told them? So when I said you press the light, means you've asked God, God, what should I do? The light has already told you, wait. Because when you press that light, it goes, it lights up, right? To tell you to wait until it turns green for you to go. So the impatient person has actually asked God. God has told them, this is what I want to do for you. But then, they're not really ready to wait on God. So let's look at the story of Abraham and Sarah. You know, Abraham has had a discussion with God. Abraham, I'm going to make you father of all nations. You know, you're going to have so many children. I'm going to bless you. Oh, fantastic. Sarah, this is what God has told us. We just have to wait on God. Great. Then guess what? For one weird reason, Sarah decided that, you know what? This is taking too long. Let's find another way out of it. They had an instruction from God, but they still tried to find a way around it, thinking we can't wait any longer, and they had Ishmael. That is an example of an impatient person. Many a times you find Christians in a place whereby they've asked God for the plans for my life. What do you want me to do? What is my purpose? God has told you, but you're not ready to wait for when it's time for you to go ahead and do that thing. So that's an impatient person. I try to think about, okay, what about someone that is sluggish, taking their time? They know what God wants to them, but they keep dragging it. This one's quite funny because during our prayer in the home, Pastor mentioned Gideon. And I thought it was quite fascinating because the angel was having a conversation with Gideon. But Gideon kept looking for excuses and excuses, you know, trying to drag him, drag the angel by in terms of destruction. He just didn't want to go. Oh, I'm the least. What if they don't? You know, things like that. What about the scared person? If you remember the story of Peter, right? Peter started with boldness when he stepped onto the sea, when the Lord told him, time to go. But when Peter started considering those speeding cars around him, he thought, I think this is danger. The scared person is someone that, you know what? Even though God has said, this is it, or the word of God has told you this, but you are still scared to hold on to the word of God because you are scared of what everyone is saying or what the environment is saying. Or let's look at the story of Elisha's servant in 2 Kings 6. You know, when he looked at all the armies that has come against them, 6:16. 2 Kings 6, verse 16. And when he looked at all the armies and everyone that was around them, he was worried. But Elisha was confident. He said, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Even at that, that's the word. But that wasn't enough for the servant. So guess what Elisha did? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, this guy's faith is not strong enough. Sorry, I'm paraphrasing. You know, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. You know, the scared people are when the word of God, a revelation, has told you the plans of God for your life, but you are still scared that it might not be. This is one of the examples I keep using. I remember when I finished my master's and I was going to look, thinking what's the next plan, you know, for visa and everything. I've used the example before anyway. And God told me that he wanted me in Leicester. He has an assignment for me in Amazing Grace. I said, fantastic. So God, that's great. What about my visa? Because without visa, I don't think I'll be in Amazing Grace. You know, I don't want to be illegal. You know, and God said he would do it. Now, different options started coming. People started saying, oh, yeah, entrepreneur, this and this. But where my spirit was that, is that a company will sponsor you. You get? And to be honest, I was worried. But guess what? And I thought, okay, if God has said a company will sponsor me, I just have to wait. Even when a friend of mine came and said, all right, let's put money together to do your own entrepreneur, I said, that's not what God has told me. And the person thought, there's something wrong with me. So you know what she did? Behind my back, she went to gather the money that by the time I realized that my dream of someone sponsoring me doesn't happen, it won't be too late. She already has that money waiting for me. But I held on to the word of God. So when God tells, you know, we find people in church that God has told you, this is what I want to do for you, or this is my plans for you, but it seems to be taking out time, or it seems like it's against the laws, or it defiles the law of economics. I was going to say gravity, but I don't know how gravity applies there. Maybe the law of economics is not what the home office has set aside. It's law of demand and supply, all those kind of things. You begin to worry and doubt the word of God. And we have the last example, which is the distracted. These are people where God has told you, this is what I want you to do. You need to just wait, but rather you are focusing on other things around you. So those were the six categories of people, and I tried to relate them to examples in the Bible. But there is, those are five, but there is the obedient one. Now the obedient person, a classic example is David. When David came back and he realized that his family, his children, everything has been taken away, it's recorded that David encouraged himself in the Lord and asked the Lord, what shall we do? David is a strong guy. He has mighty men of valor. They could just, whoa, they've done this. All right, guys, get back on your horses. We're going after them. Even though he had that power, physical power, he still waited and asked God, what should we do? And when God told him it was time to move forward, he decided to go. What is this to us as Christians? When you don't press the light, you are acting independently of God. Whatever we want to do as children of God, we need to seek God's face. You need to pray and say, Father, is this the right thing? Should I go ahead? You pressing the light when you get to the pedestrian crossing is you asking God, I want to go. Now, you want to go to the other side. God, I need your power and backing to go to the other side. You don't want to be like the rich fool that is thinking all about himself and how he wants to do things without consulting God. The funny thing is, because some people tell me, or some people might say, but hold on, there are people that stand by the light. They don't press the light, but they successfully cross to the other side. Yes, it happens. The same way you will see non-Christians venture into businesses and they look successful. The same way you see some people don't pray morning and night, but they are not dead. The same way you see some people that are not born again, but they seem to be getting promotion at work. Yes, it works. But guess what? The person that is crossing the road without having the backing of the law or the authority is open to danger. What do I mean? The person might think they are smart and they might get away with crossing the road without pressing the light. But there might be a time where they are unfortunate. Thank God for God's mercies. The reason why they've been successful by crossing the road is God has been merciful. What if, before I say that, can we open to the book of 1 Peter 5:8? Message translation, please. 1 Peter 5:8. Message translation. It says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. So you know what's happening? That guy might be successfully crossing the road every now and then, but he might not know or he might not be able to calculate the speed a car might be coming and he can get into an accident. And that's why you keep hearing of people that have been knocked off on the road, or while they're trying to cross the road, a bike came from nowhere. That's exactly what the devil is doing to, is targeting us Christians. It says that the devil would like nothing better than to catch you napping, catch you when you are not alert. The devil is just waiting. So it's like a car parked by the side of the road, waiting to see the person that has not pressed the light, that as soon as the person is running, the car then goes and it will eat the person. And guess what? The car will not be held responsible because the pedestrian did not press the light to activate that law that will back them up. So we need to be careful and don't let the enemy to catch us napping. It's as simple as you just pressing the light. Now, there are shortcuts, but there are potential dangers. Like I said, so, you know, it might be quicker because if no car is coming, rather than you pressing the light and waiting another maybe 45 seconds, you might think, there's no car coming, I can just go. It looks like a quick and fast way. That doesn't make it the God's way. The only way that is authorized by God, that is backed by God, that is backed by the word of God, is you activating the light. It's you by pressing the light, and that's activating the law of God. So no matter how quick it might look or how easy it might look for you to do things outside God's word, it's still not God's word. We need to focus on God. Then we need to be patient when waiting on God. What do I mean? We need to be, like I said, there are times, I don't know about you, when you press them light and it looks like it's taking ages. And you look up and like, what's going on? And you press the light again and like, yeah, it might take a long time, but guess what? That is the only law that will back you if anything happens when you cross the road. So you need to be patient when you are waiting on God. You know, the one other thing I always try and I do, you know, at them lights is, sometimes I'll press the light. Rather than waiting for the light to tell me green, I'll be watching the big one that activates the cars. And as soon as that turn red, because that will go red first before the pedestrian one turns green. I always try to feel cool with myself. So when that one turns red, before that one turns green, I'll just step on the road. Others are waiting patiently. But I want to make you feel like I'm brave. So as soon as I'll be watching that light, as soon as it turns red, I just step on the road and be going. I know the cars will stop because theirs is red. But there's still a little window for me to wait for mine to tell me. It's not about being brave, or it's not about you trying to feel good with yourself. It's about you depending fully and totally on what God is saying. Like I said, you need to be patient. There's no plan B. I'm someone that believes no plan B when it comes to things of God. And like the story I said earlier then, you know, when my friend was thinking of, all right, let me put a plan B in place. I said there's no plan B. Because when I start thinking about a plan B, what I'm saying indirectly is, when God fails, or let me say, if God fails, then I've got another plan. Why would God fail concerning me? No. So no plan B, no helping God, you know, the way Sarah and Abraham trying to do. Like I said, you could be successful at times, even with putting all these plans in place or going ahead, but that doesn't mean that is the right thing to do. So regarding every area of our lives, you know, our work, our career, you know, our marriage, our businesses, we need to ask God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? Where should I go? Should I go there? Should I say this? You know, you wake up in the morning, you're going, oh God, please, show me who I need to preach to. Show me the person that you've prepared their heart to hear the message. You know, lead me. I just want to go. I don't want to go out blindly. Oh, there's a business proposal someone has brought to you that, oh, let's invest. Fantastic. Numbers, spot on. Returns, wow, this is over 100%. Fantastic. All right, leave it to me. Give me 2 days, I'll come back to you. And you go back on your knees. God, on paper, oh, this looks like a fantastic deal. But do you want me to commit myself? It's not all about returns. It could be a case of if you venture into that business, it might affect your relationship with God. It might take you away from God. So it's not just that the numbers are not working. It's not everything that is good that is God. So the reason why we need to go, because God sees everything. God is above. He sees how everything plays out. He sees all the permutation and combination of how everything will result to. So what we need to do is, know what? The way we are seeing it, it looks profitable. But it might have another impact on something else outside of your control. So why you need to commit it to God and ask God for direction is, God, I don't want to be successful in one way, then lack in another. Help me to make the right decisions. If, when I'm talking about distractions, when you get when the person that is at the light presses the light and is waiting and it gets distracted, like I said, when the light turns green, they don't see. We also need to be careful when we've asked God for a direction that when God tells us time to go, we actually see that it's time to go. This is about doing the right thing at the right time. You know, so people out of anxiety or counsels from other people, you know what, they get distracted from the original message because they press the light. They've asked God, but other people around them are now distracting them from what they primarily heard from God or what God wants them to do. We need to be careful. It could be people close to you. It could even be people in church. You have to make sure you are in tune with the Holy Spirit. Then when the light turns green, boldly, you have to take that leap of faith. Even if that car is speeding from nowhere, it doesn't matter. You're going to go without the same confidence I had years ago in Birmingham. You know, with that confidence, you step onto the road. Because guess what? As soon as you press that light, and that light turns green for you to go, as soon as you step onto the road, whoever is coming is not fighting against you. They are fighting against the law. So you as a Christian, when God tells you it's time for you to go, and you go, people are not contending with you any longer. They are contending with God. And because of that faith and that belief, you're just going to step into the road and like, you know what? Better watch. I don't know, for those of us that drive, there are times that you be driving and you see pedestrian will look at you like, are you okay? Can't you see the light? That is the kind of confidence they have because they know that they're in their own authority or their own space. So when God tells us to go, regardless of how he looks around you, ignore it and just go ahead. You know, go ahead with it. Know that the Lord, that's God, is backing you. If anyone decides to mess with you, they're messing with God, not you. So just go in there straight away. Because of time, I've got three more points. Sometimes when you get to the light, someone else might press that light. So it's not a case of you pressing it all the time. You might get there to the pedestrian light and you find, oh, someone else has pressed it. So as Christians, we'll get other people praying for us, other people interceding on our behalf. But you know what? Even though someone has pressed the light, when you get there, you see that the light has been pressed. So as believers, we should never assume people are praying for us. We should never be relaxed and believe, oh, my mother, my father, in wherever they are, I'm sure every night and day they pray, so I don't need to pray. But even if someone tells you, I'm praying for you, the fact that when you get to the light and you need to look at the light to confirm that it has been pressed, the same way someone said they've prayed for you and this is what God is saying, because you can see the light at the pedestrian thing, at the pedestrian stop, you can also go before God and say, Father, this is what this person said you've told them. Is it true? Get your own confirmation. Because people are standing there, you should not just go and stand with them because they may not have pressed the light. But if they say they have pressed the light and you can see, you need to see it to confirm. So someone comes to you, Moyo, the Holy Spirit showed me we need to get married, you know, obviously not me, but it's for you too. All right, that's fine. Bless you, darling. Yeah. You know, you need to then go, all right, that's fine. I just need to check that to make sure that the light you claim you pressed that will make two of us cross over, can I see it? And how do you see? Is you going back on your knees and say, God, this person claimed they pressed the light for both of us. Is that true? You need to confirm that. You know, so yeah, we need to look for signs that if people claim they're praying for us, we should look for signs and not just take their word for it. Someone else presses the light, and the light is amber. You know, sometimes you get to the light, you get there, and it's already, you're partially late. And what you then try to do is quickly run across, because you're like, ah, if I don't run across, then I'll be stuck here, then I'll have to press the light again, and then I'll have to wait. Rather, let me run across. It's not always the smartest move, because when you try to run across, you put yourself in danger. Like I said, you might find someone in a hurry that be on amber, they're ready to start moving, they're already revving. So rather than put yourself under pressure, what a patient person will do is, it's already amber, you know what, I'll just wait, press the light again, and start all over again. If you try to walk with another person's light or another person's journey, you might get bitten or you might fall in trouble. I'll give you an example. I know someone that wanted to get a mortgage, right? And the person said, oh yeah, I've got plans to have a mortgage in a couple of years. And someone else went to him and said, you know, you can get a mortgage now. You know, all you have to do is get this money and do this. And there was so much pressure on the person that was patiently waiting for 2 years. And the person was trying all, you know what, this is the house. Okay, this house is not working out. This other one, you know, oh, get this money, put the money in this account. And there seems to be so much pressure. And guess what I realized? I think the person that they've been trying to put under pressure to get a mortgage now realizes that, you know what? I didn't press this light. Someone else pressed it for me. And it looks like there is a time, there's a window, and they're trying to push me to run across. And it's making things tight for me, putting me under pressure. And what he decided to do is, you know what? Let the light turn red. That's fine. What I will do is, I will wait, press it again, and relax. So that when the light turns green for me to cross, I will majestically, smartly, in my own timing, walk across without any pressure. Many a time we find ourselves trying to walk with people's plans for us. Our parents, they want us to get married now. They want us to have our children now. People want us to buy a car now. People want us to, have a PhD. You know what? There are so many things people will want you to do. But what do you and God, what have you guys settled? So let's try not to walk with other people's, in line with other people's journey, and so that we don't put ourselves under any pressure. Now, the last point here, it says that, you know, press the light, wait patiently, and cross smartly without any pressure. You press the light, you pray to God for something. I don't know who is in here that you're praying to God for one thing or the other. And it looks like it's taking long. You know, you've prayed, it seems like something that should happen like that, and it's taking long. But if you know that you're in the right standing and you believe in the word of God, then you have to wait. I was during a prayer in the home, I was saying, for some of you that are used to my routine, I'm sure many people have been, a lot of people actually have been coming to me. You've been around for midweek services. What's happening? I'm like, oh yeah, my contract ended. So 6 weeks now, I've been without a job. And some people are worried for me. And they're like, ah, really? To be honest, the only thing I'm worried about is boredom. Because I love to, you know, get my hands, you know. And I'm like, I just want to do something. I can't just sit at home and be watching TV all day. You know, but some people are really worried. But guess what? There have been so many offers out there. But I know they are not the right ones for me. Because when I was going to go into this line of my work, myself and God, we had a conversation. And I know the plans of God for me. And what people are trying to use is to tempt me that, wow, you're staying at home for too long. Maybe it takes something lower than what you should be getting. I won't lie to you, I've been tempted. But then, didn't speak telling me that, but you know that you've spoken about this and this is the plans I have. And then I built that confidence in myself. I'm like, you know what? I'll wait. Because guess what? I can rush into accepting some job offers now, and 3 months down the line, they could end the contract. Who knows? Maybe the reason why I have to wait this long is because God is prepping one that will keep me in job for 1 year, 9 months. Maybe, who knows? But guess what? I'm ready to wait as long as it's God. So what I've done is I've pressed the light. I'm just waiting for it to turn green. Others might be crossing without the light being green, and they may be feeling happy with themselves that, see him, he's still there. We've crossed over. Happy days. Go ahead. You might actually have crossed the road, and you might be the office you are going to. Maybe you are there. You are still at the reception. That by the time I take my own time, I'll still come and meet you there. Fine. But whatever you've been seeking God's face for, and it looks like it's taking long, or God is taking his time, don't lose hope. Don't develop a plan B. Neither should you now wait for people to put you under undue pressure. As David did, encourage yourself in the Lord. Surround yourself with people that when they come to the light and they've seen that you press the light, they will be ready to wait for you. Not people that will tell you, cars are not coming, let's go. You need to depend on God. Totally dependence on God. And may God help us in Jesus' name. Can we bow down our head and close our eyes this afternoon? I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are seeking God's face for or what you've been asking God for. Is it a promotion at work? Is it in your career, your studies for success? Is it marriage? Is it children? Whatever it might be. Could it even be your spiritual growth that you want to hear from God? You want to speak in tongues? You want a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Whatever it is, or you're praying for your family, your friends, why don't you go before God and assure God, what do I mean? Telling God that, God, you know what? I'm ready to wait on you. Regardless of what is going on around me, God, I'm ready to wait on you.